What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Teeing It Up with CMV, the number one sports podcast in the Midwest, in the state of Michigan, in the east side of the state, in the southeast side of the state, in the Detroit tri-state metro area. It's Teeing It Up with CMV. I think I already said it already, but we're back again. I'm Connor, the C of the CMV, as always, with my co-host, the V, Vladimir. What's going on, man? Back for another episode.
I love the energy to start out. What region are we located in one more time?
Southeast Michigan.
Okay. Yeah, just I didn't know if I didn't hear you the first seven, but no, I'm doing well. We have an interesting show. I kind of wanted to make this about college football in as kind of a honor to the new game that came out this past weekend. And then I think we've got good lists. I'm excited for that. But then just the steaming pile of shit that EA put out that I'm going to get into later. So that's kind of ruined my mood since I kind of got back from work today. But it's a short work week. I'll try not to let this kill me. I'm doing well overall. How are you?
I'm good. Nothing to complain about. Yeah, short work week for me as well. So can't complain about that.
Should we start with the golf? Just because I think that'll be the quickest topic.
Yeah, so it's obviously, Vladdy mentioned, it's going to be a mostly college football themed episode. Really, the only major talking point in the sports world, as far as current events, was the Open. Xander Schauffele comes out in a long list of guys that were kind of competing for that final spot on Sunday. He wins his second major of the year. I didn't watch a ton of it. I watched the early parts of Sunday. He was down two shots going to the back nine. Like I said, there was, I think, seven or eight guys within two shots of the lead going into Sunday. So it was truly anybody's game. Seemed like it was just who was going to make putts and who was going to make birdies. Sunday seemed like the most playable of the entire week. That was kind of the story. I talked a bunch of crap about Lynx Golf and how the Open had turned into a birdie fest with the way that these guys play the game. And we got the worst, or the devil side, I guess you could say, of Lynx style golf with the weather. Friday was horrible. I think it was playing three or four over par for that day. Saturday was pouring rain out. Just seemed miserable. I think Scottie Scheffler called it the gates of hell at one point on Friday or Saturday. The winner was only -9, which was, I believe, only the US Open was lower. Right? What was Bichamp? Doesn't matter. Was low compared to, I believe, last year's Open champion. Brian Harman won at like 15 or 16 under last year. So played a lot different this year. And you got anything to add before we kind of get into Xander and what this means for the year as we kind of close out the golfing year as far as majors go?
No, I was actually just going to talk about Xander. So go ahead.
Yeah, Xander Schauffele, two majors. Something that hasn't been done in years. And my biggest thing, and I kind of mentioned it over text, is and somebody else made a good point as far as like just earnings. Yeah, you'd probably take Scottie Scheffler's six wins or five wins or whatever it is. But if you want to be the best golfer and you're talking about who had the best season and who's the guy you'll remember from this year, for me, it's Xander Schauffele. You win two majors. I don't think it's been done. When do you know when the last time it's been done is?
Did Rory do it in 2014?
Or my other thought was maybe one of the Brooks Koepka years, 2018 or 2017.
Yeah, it might have been a
because he won four. I want to say he won four in 2 years.
Yeah, he did fly through those PGAs in the U.S. Opens.
So, but it's been that's 5-6 years ago now.
Yep.
It doesn't happen every year, and you get a guy who's on this dominant run as Scottie Scheffler is, and he's not even the name you're probably going to remember when you talk about 2024.
I actually don't know if I agree with that. I know that there is the earnings, and I understand the argument of majors. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like you can't compare it. But Scotty, those six wins, they weren't just your Rocket Mortgage Classics where the entire field doesn't play. He did win big events.
But I'll argue that PGA Tour events don't mean as much, mean even less now without these live guys in it. It's not playing against the best. You're not playing the best on the best. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to take tour for tour, the PGA Tour is still by far superior talent-wise, or at least deeper. Maybe you could argue about the top versus the top. But yeah, I just don't see the PGA, like, to me, I don't see the PGA Tour. You want to know who the best golfer is? Who, when the best on the best was playing against each other, who came out victorious? And that was Xander Schauffele. And Scotty was kind of in the mix this weekend. He kind of had a rough Sunday from what I saw. But yeah, to not be able to close it out, to not even be in contention for two of the four majors. And obviously, it's hard to say because he did win one of them this year. But Xander winning two of the last three, just steady Eddie, too. Just like a guy that good ball striker, good putter. It looks smooth, it looks easy. It's not like the Scottie Scheffler herky jerky. Like, how does that work? How is he the best? Or like John Rahm with the short swing. It's smooth. It's tempo. It's everything you want in a golf swing. He doesn't do anything like amazing, but he just does everything well. And that's a credit to him and how good of a year he's having. I just like, he's a weird one because I don't know, even after winning two majors, is he really like, if you're not a golf fan, do you know who Scott or Xander Schauffele is after this year?
I'll say no, but I'll give you your point. You have convinced me. I'll give him the height over Scotty. That was a compelling argument, so I can't dispute that.
Thank you. I run a tight ship over here.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Yeah, but I don't know, and maybe I'm just being a bit of a Scotty hater, but I just think he gets like, especially this year, and he deserves it. He's obviously gone on a massive run. You're right. He's not winning the Rocket Mortgage. He's won a Players. He's won a Masters. He's won an Arnold Palmer. He won the Memorial. Like, these are not, Muni events. They're not member guest events. But when you talk about legacy and who made their mark on the golf world, it's the majors. I'm sorry, that's what it is now in this world of golf. Until they get back together, it is the majors. And I think, like, my argument is, like, if you want to talk down on the LIV, as far as like these PGA Tour events are still the best, we've got guys, clearly they're not, like, clearly you're missing guys when guys are winning majors from the LIV Tour every single year, or the 2 years that we've had a LIV Tour, I guess. We've had DeChambeau and Brooks win. So I didn't watch a ton of it. It seemed like it was carnage out there. It was your typical links style course. Some of those bunkers were pretty ridiculous. I'll say this, I've always thought that links golf is much more playable for your average golfer like us than maybe some of these other courses that you see, where the rough is super thick and there's just like water every the one I ultimately think, like, I would never be able to just get the ball in the hole on is where they play TPC's where they play the Players. What's that course called in the Jacksonville area?
Progress.
Sawgrass. I think with all that water and how tight all those fairways are, that's one of those that's a course that I go, oh my God, I can never get in the hole. I don't think that with links golf, but when the weather is like that, when it's windy and when it's rainy, and like it is a lot of the time over there, unfortunately or fortunately, that is far more impossible than anything you can play in the US, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Anything you wanted to add before we go into college football? I think we talked enough about the
No,
major here.
I'm very ready to start screaming because I'm so upset at what they've done. So
So moving on, the rest of the episode is going to kind of center around college football. Like Vladdy said last week, the College Football 25 came out. It's been well waited for. It was kind of a definitely a piece of, I wouldn't say childhood because it's 2014. I guess I was 15 years old by my math at that point, so it wasn't
it's
necessarily a true
2013.
trial.
2013 was the
2013.
last game.
Well, there was a 14, like there's an NCAA football 14,
What is
but does
this?
that come out the year before?
What is this game called? Why don't you tell me? It's College Football 25, and we're not in 2025. So
Oh, I see what
follows
you
the
mean. They
same
come
way
out a
every.
year before. Yeah,
Yeah, see, I run a tight ship around here too.
not a math guy. What can I say? So Moral of the story, a good piece of a lot of kids' childhoods that are into sports as far as being a fan favorite sports wise. And it's funny to me because obviously we're gonna get into kind of some of the complaints with the game, but I didn't ever really look at it as like this like crazy great graphic dynamic game like it was. It just was like they had the road to glory and the dynasty was really cool and you were into it because like it was neat to have a college football game and that was unique. And you got to live out the life. So you got to do the silly little high school thing they had, which they've gotten rid of now in Road to Glory. I didn't necessarily look at it as like, oh my God, this is the best graphics or this is like the best gameplay or anything like that. So I'll give the new game some slack on that front. But let's kind of get into kind of the complaints with the game so far.
Okay, so like you said, yes, I will start by saying one nice thing. The attention to detail and some of the little things that they've done, kind of with stadiums and certain the way crowds might be, and just the little kind of bells and whistles of the game, if you will, that is is done very well. Kudos to them. But the game isn't functional. And I cannot sit here. And let me put it this way. What's the purpose of getting a super decked out, every single special thing ever, UConn Denali XL, if the engine doesn't fucking start? What's the point of having all the bells and whistles if your game doesn't work? The servers, non-existent. Every time you log into a game, or not game, if you log into that game and trying to log into Dynasty, you have a 50-50 shot of being able to actually be let into it or not. End of. That's it. For me personally, I have not been able to get in to Dynasty in 3 days. I have not been able to. It won't let me. It just tells me the servers aren't available. This and it's not some isolated issue. It is a very large majority of the people. That's fucking unacceptable. Then let's talk about simulation in the game. It's broken. It's not representative of what real life college football is. So I've finished 4 seasons of Dynasty in kind of the one or two sittings that I got to play on Friday night and then Saturday. Of those 4 seasons, only once did I see a one loss or better Power Five team. And that was only in year one. After that, the simulation just lets absolutely everything just kind of cannibalize each other. So the last season that I played, you had the entirety of the top 15 be composed of 9-3 or 8-4 schools. The number one seed was Alabama at 9-3. That's not representative of what the sport is. Now, that would be pretty funny if that happened one time and just like the absolute chaos it would ensue in real life, but that's not how it works. Certain teams are just flat out better than everyone else, and they're going to have built in 10, 11 wins. You've got FCS schools that are just busted. If you try and sim a game against an FCS school, you are more likely to lose than you are to win,
I
objectively.
saw something that they like, that's like one of the biggest complaints, and that they are like fixing that.
Cool. Maybe they can fix a fucking server. Let's get to recruiting. First of all,
Hard.
well, yeah, but here's my problem. How is NIL not a part of recruiting? That is the
True. I
single
hadn't even
most
thought about
important part of real life recruiting in the modern college landscape, whether it be through high school or through the transfer portal. How is NIL not in the game? It's in Road to Glory. You can create a brand and sign some fake deal with Nike, but you can't use it to recruit. What? Then you have your little whole gem in your bus system that is fundamentally broken, where in the old game, the way it worked is if you found a gem, it would typically correlate to 1-star increase. So if it was a 3-star gem, you'd expect his overall to be like a 4-star player. This year, I've seen 4-star busts be higher rated than 4-star gems. It has no correlation to rankings. You just get this random graphic says, "Oh, look, you've uncovered a gem." Too bad it has no relevance to anything else. It just shows you something. After that, you have scheduling visits, which is broken, where the way the game works is once a recruit gets to his top five, you can start scheduling visits. If you don't schedule a visit with that recruit in the first week he gets to top five, you can never schedule one. It just locks you out of it. That's not normal. It's not. And that's let's talk about the actual game, not just kind of like some of the features that kind of encompass what the college football game is. You can't play defense. It is impossible to play defense in this game. The other team's CPU doesn't miss passes. Everything is a laser into the perfect spot. The defense, like just as a defender, your reaction time is it's too slow. I sit there and I'll look at kind of the button inputs. It doesn't match up with the way that my player ends up moving based on what I've done. And then even sometimes you don't even have what you call happen. So I was playing some games and I was getting pissed off because my quarters kept sagging. I was kind of making jokes with my friends, like, oh, look, like these guys really nailed Michigan State's pass defense or lack thereof. But then I sat there and I actually started playing with it. I put my corners into press on seven straight passing attempts for the other team. On all seven of those tries, the corners just backed off and didn't actually jam the receiver at the line. They just backed off. Let him run his route. That's not functional. That's not what press coverage is. After that, if you played on the road, that's ridiculous. Some of the like I understand trying to hide what button every receiver is and wiggling the routes, but if you call an audible, there is a 50 to 60% chance that it's going to pick the wrong play. And just your receivers are not going to do what you thought they were going to do. That's not a like, and let me rephrase. I'm not sure if that was the intention, because obviously I understand you do want to have the crowd factor be a thing. And yeah, when the stadium's going crazy, it's harder to hear what the quarterback's saying. But you got to find a different way. Like, you can't tell me that, oh, I have picked this play and my receiver's not going to run that play. I can't have that. You have to find a different way to make the crowd be viable. That's not okay.
The other one was the question mark thing before the pre-snap, I have no problem with. I think that's a good little wrinkle. But then it continues into the play. So like they'll be running their route and it still says question mark, and it's like, okay, this is too much.
That's ridiculous. We can talk about what's well, we can talk about Team Builder. Team Builder was kind of what they had back in the old days, where you could kind of create your own college. That came back this year and it was released, but it doesn't work. Nobody can get their team build actually exported into the game. So you can't do that. That's not functional. You talked about Road to Glory not having the high school, which is a feature that a lot of people liked. That doesn't exist anymore. They pulled a feature out of a game. And then it's just they had 3.5 years since the announcement. And I emphasize since the announcement, because EA's spokesperson or whoever made that announcement didn't wake up one morning on February 2nd, 2021 and go rogue and decide to announce that the game was coming back. They knew beforehand. So I say they had 42 plus months to develop and prepare a game to launch, and they couldn't do it. That is pathetic for a multi-billion dollar corporation. That's something that would happen if you're a group of people trying to do your capstone project at Michigan State with a $600 budget. It's absolutely disgusting from them. And I know right away it's like, oh, dude, you should just be happy the game's back. It's like, stop fucking carrying their water. That's the most sorry loser mindset ever. Like, you'll play two games, and yes, that initial dopamine rush when you lost, like I said, you get into that first game, you see Spartan Stadium with the updated kind of, I don't see graphics, and it looks good, and it kind of you get all the rush back of all the times you were there. After game two, that's gone, and then you need a functional working game, and they don't have that, and it's a joke.
I don't. I mean, I don't. How can I disagree with any of that? It's. I
And
mean,
no,
I played the game myself.
and to go on further, the scariest thing about this is, I emphasize the 42 months, because they're never going to have a development cycle that long again, because they're going to start pumping this shit out like Madden every single year, which means they have a 12-year cycle when a new game's got to come out. If they couldn't put together a game in 42 plus months, how the fuck are they going to put one together in 12?
Well, I think the answer to that question is they really don't have to, because like they're gonna have my question is like This one they could have kind of they could get away with this. They could put it out whatever because you said there was so much hype, so much nostalgia behind it that they knew everyone was going to buy it regardless of how good or bad the game was. My question is if you are going to pump this a product like this out every 12 months, how long until this game is no longer what it was 10 years ago, 11 years ago? Pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah, I remember I had this discussion. This was a couple months ago, and we were waiting for the game to come out, and I kind of said what I thought would happen, where this game would be a steaming pile of shit, but because of the nostalgia, because of the hype, people would let it go, as you just mentioned. And then by probably college football 27, let's say, everyone would be calling for their heads and asking for 2K to get involved. That's how I look at it. The next game, I'm sure it'll probably get by just on the fact that I don't want to say hype again, but it'll get by on the fact that they'll come back and they'll try and give us a new high school feature for Road to Glory, like they've suddenly saved us. It's like, no, you just did what you should have done to fucking begin with by adding something that used to exist. You don't get to sit there and pass it off as a new feature. And so it's ridiculous. And the best part is like I expected nothing more. I had bare bones, no expectation because I know what EA Sports is. And I still get frustrated. And that's why I don't understand why, because I knew this was going to happen too.
I don't have much to add. Your rant was pretty all-encompassing, to be honest.
Like I said, this was, I'm not going to say personal, but this one was like this. Having waited so long, like this was, it was ridiculous how just how pathetic they were, how little thought, and how, again, I don't want to keep beating dead horse, but you don't have NIL as part of your recruiting package for the game. How is that possible? How do you sell somebody a car
I
without
didn't even
a
notice that. I don't even know how I missed that. But you're right.
it's ridiculous. So more power to them. They sold 2 million copies before the game even released. They'll make their money. I'm sure Ultimate Team will be a success. Actually, I'm pretty sure I saw news that today's going to be the first drop of College Legends, and you can get a Tim Tebow card and Ultimate Team.
No.
Yay! But no functionality. Broken ass game. Pathetic company. Disgusting. Let's go to something that's a little bit more uplifting, so I don't punch my desk and break it.
Yeah, so in the theme of college football being in the topics, as we just went off on, we're going to close out today's show with a little bit of history, I guess you could say. We each, without the help of the other, made a list of our top 10 games since 2010. I kind of, throughout 2010, I kind of, because that's my, like, I guess you could say benchmark of actually truly remembering games. I remember, like, I do remember like Vince Young, USC 06 or 07, whatever that would have been, 05 maybe. I kind of remember the early Florida teams around that time too, but not really. It kind of started in that 2010 era, which is about like when Tebow was there or Tebow was leaving. So that's our benchmark. So these are only games from 2010 to 2024 for those. Wondering why we missed a game or why we didn't cover a game. That's our benchmark here. 2010 is the starting point.
So, I guess I think you might have mentioned it, but if not, that this is in no order because how do you order these games? Is it, again, I was telling you beforehand, like, how much value do you put to sentimental reasons if there's Michigan State involved? How much value do you put to national title implications or just the stage the game was at? Because obviously, we all know a week three matchup is not equal to a college football playoff semifinal. So, this is not an, there is no order here. We're just kind of writing down what came to our mind and what kind of what we have. So how do you want to start this? Just do you want to pick some games? Do we want to throw out some honorable mentions? I don't know if you had any of those or where do you want to go?
I didn't have any honorable mentions. I'll throw out the four, like I said, that came off the tongue. Like I didn't, once we the question was asked, I didn't even have to think about. I didn't have to like research any games or figure out any years. I just remember these ones off the hop. I would really hope they're on your list. I think they're three of them are, or two of them are like the most famous games there are generally, and then two have some sentimental value. One should have actually kind of has both. They are the Kick Six, Auburn, Alabama, Trouble with the Snap, Michigan State, the 2018 national championship game at Bama, Georgia, where Tua came in and had the overtime winner, and MSU 2021 win in East Lansing over Michigan. Those were the four that tipped off the top of the tongue. Didn't even have to think about.
So I only had one of those.
Okay.
So we're off to a good start.
Which
Let's
one
start
was
with
it?
the Michigan State 2021.
Okay.
Let's
How do
just
you
start.
not have Kick Six or Trouble with the Snap? Those
Because
I feel like those are the most
I feel
memorable
like all of
moments.
those games kind of got encompassed into one play. And while that
Yeah,
one
but
play was
that's half the
so,
battle though,
yeah, I don't
I
disagree. It's
think.
just, I'm sorry, sir. That's just what
Okay.
I did. But
I'm very surprised because I think those two are literally the two most famous moments in this 14-year block.
I mean, in if you're talking about a quote unquote in a vacuum moment, you're probably correct. And I kind of went for game over moment, but
Okay, then we might have some very different ones because
I
I
think we
have.
are. I'm excited.
Okay, so what were the easy ones for you then? List the whatever,
So
however
for
many the easy
me,
ones
the
were.
very first one, Michigan State 2021,
Yep.
that was kind of like the pinnacle weekend of or week on weekend as a whole of like the 4.5 years from Michigan State. I mean, you have the entire country converging on East Lansing. All three of I mean, I say all
Yeah.
three as if Barstool's a big show, but three pregame shows were in East Lansing with Big Noon, with Game Day, and with Barstool's whatever bullshit they did in Cedar Village. I forget what it was called. I remember, I mean, we were up and awake at 5 in the morning, drinking by 5:30. The vibes were great walking around tailgates and everything. Then the game itself, obviously, just
Yeah.
the way the script was, Michigan quickly goes up, Michigan State scores two touchdowns in the span of 4 or 5 minutes, and then Michigan just kind of slowly starts pulling away. Then thankfully Jim Harbaugh saved our season by not going for two when they were up by 15 and kept it a two possession game, which allowed us to come back. And then just kind of the game ending interception, it is what it is. Like I didn't even write notes down. Like I'm doing all this purely from memory just
Yeah.
because that's how special that game was. Like if I had to put an order, I think like I was kind of telling you if this had to be an order, this would be number one. That's just
Okay.
the student factor of being there, that it was sensational.
Agreed. Everything what you just culminated in that statement is exactly how I would express it. So, and that was
So
on my list.
the next one that I have is LSU Alabama 2009 or 2019.
Okay, I have that too.
Yeah, so I
That's
mean
the Burrow versus Tua
that
game.
I mean
Yeah.
that wasn't just Burrow, it was everybody.
Yeah, it was literally every
Slugfest, and
pro
like
you think of today.
yeah, it was a sensational
Yeah.
game at the time. And obviously, as we watch these people's NFL careers kind of at this point, it's not even take off because they're not really rookies anymore. But as we see
No.
these people's careers kind of blossom into superstars at all levels too. Like, I mean,
Yeah.
that was actually Nick's, I was looking at this, that was Nick Saban's last ever SEC home loss. And if it wasn't for Texas last season, that would have been his last ever loss at Bryant Denny. So I guess that was cool. And then obviously, just the names. I mean, Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, basically the entire offense for LSU. On the defensive side, they still had some players: Derek Stingley, Grant Delpit, Patrick Queen, Alabama running around with Tua, Devontae Smith, Jerry Jeudy, Jalen
Yep.
Waddle, Henry Ruggs, Najee Harris, Brian Robinson, Landon Dickerson, Trayvon Diggs, Pat Surtain, Xavier McKinney, just star power everywhere at every level. And I was actually looking back at this Alabama roster, and like you obviously this isn't how it works because they weren't the players then that they are now, but that
Right.
Alabama team was loaded. I don't know how they lost that game because
Yeah, and you talk about that LSU team at least as being one of, if not the best team in our kind of generation of
yes.
college football. And that's kind of the moment you pick out from that team. So it's hard to leave that game out when that was their moment of a team that you say that's the team. So.
And the last kind of cool fun fact or story that I have to tell regarding this game, and this maybe just shows how legendary it was even in the moment. Michigan State, Illinois kicked off at the exact same time that day. We were hosting Illinois. And obviously, I went to pretty much every game I could for Michigan State as a student. I willingly skipped that game to watch Alabama LSU. And honestly, thank God I did, because that was the day Michigan State blew a 21-point fourth quarter lead to Illinois. So I would have probably jumped over the railing and fought Mark D'Antonio and Dave Warner myself. But that was just an entertaining story of I willingly skipped that game to watch Bama LSU just because you had to. That was the talk of the town, as we kind of mentioned with Michigan State in the previous game, where the whole country was watching that game.
Yep. What else you got?
All right. So this next one for me is one of the most, or it, not just, it's the most impressive quarterback performance I've ever seen. It is the game that fully sold me on CJ Stroud, and that is Ohio State, Georgia, college football playoff, semifinal,
Yeah.
bringing in the new year with a really, really ugly duck hook kick, but just kind of quick talk. But I mean, Stroud goes up against that Georgia juggernaut. Travion Henderson didn't play. Jackson Smith and Jigba didn't play. Loses Marvin Harrison Jr. halfway through the game to a concussion, and he just kept going. And then, I mean, that run at the end of the game where he kind of brought them into field goal position, that was sensational. He kind of looked like, I'm not going to say Lamar Jackson because he's not, but it was actually like it was a true quarterback run, as opposed to just, oh, someone blew an assignment. There was no contain, and he ran 40 yards down the field because no one was there. No, he was evading tacklers. It was sensational. And then Ryan Day, unfortunately, got conservative with his play calls. And then, like I said, Noah Ruggles brought in the new year, brought in 2023 with one of the worst kicks that I've ever seen.
Yeah, I did not have this one, but if I was going to, it's one I thought of, and if I had an honorable mention list, it would definitely be on it. Somewhat, the semifinal games kind of crossed over in my brain a little bit. You talk about how do you rank? Maybe that's kind of why mine's more based on moments and memories as opposed to the actual how the actual game played out, because you're right, this was just back and forth, high score, and so was the last game we talked about. We kind of glanced over the fact that that was, I want to say, both teams in the 40s back and forth, like scoring wise too, and I think this one was as well. So yeah, if I had to pick an honorable mention, it would be this one. But for me, I don't have a single semifinal game
Oh,
on
wow.
here.
I think I have a lot of them if I'm looking down at the list, but we'll get there when we get there.
I'll go, because I think you definitely don't have this now, because this could go down as actually one of the worst games if we're actually talking about the play. But again, it's a memorable moment to me. It was a big moment. Is 2011 Bama LSU, the 9-6 game
Oh.
that kind of went on the town. That was kind of that whole year was when you have one of it's basically like 2019. It was LSU or Alabama. That's all everyone talked about all year. It was kind of that era of Nick Saban where Alabama was just so dominant without having a real quarterback, and they went through that basically. I mean, if you count AJ McCarron, they went through that for most of essentially what, probably the first 10 years of that Nick Saban at Alabama. It
It
wasn't
was
until
pretty
really the Jalen Hurts era.
when they lost, or honestly, maybe I don't necessarily say lost, but when Dabo Swinney and Clemson showed up with Deshaun Watson and started putting up more points, I think that's when the entire sport shifted towards, hey, if you don't have a quarterback, you got to go fucking find one. But I love that pick from you. The what was that? LSU played eight quarters against Bama, couldn't score a touchdown, because wasn't the national title like 21 nothing or 15 nothing, something like that? So yeah,
Yeah,
I
I
love
want to
that.
say, was their quarterback? No, he's later. I was gonna say it was like Coker or something like that, but
No,
that
Coker, yeah, Coker was
he's
a
later.
2015
Yeah,
QB.
I was gonna say, I think he's the guy right before Jalen, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Honestly, it could have been AJ McCarron.
I think AJ McCarron's a little later because he's the last. Oh, it might be actually, because he's the last. Well, talk about moments and memories, because this is definitely not a great game, but and it's not on my list because of that. Is I remember McCarron because he's the last national champion before the playoff, because that was the Notre Dame game where they killed him, and then what's his face just talked about AJ McCarron's girlfriend the whole time.
So two
And
things. It was AJ McCarron. Second of all, you are wrong. The last national title before the playoff was Auburn and FSU in 2013.
okay, and let's get into that because that's also on my list.
Oh, I love it. Go.
Yep, J Jameis Winston. Kind of like a sad ending. Like, I think this gets a little forgotten of because Winston obviously lost in the first playoff the next year to or was it Oregon, and kind of
Yes.
in that era was kind of the Mariota Winston era
Yes.
there as far as the 1-2, and then they kind of faced off in that playoff game and Mariota got the best of him. I know there's the meme
The falling
of him
backwards,
falling
dropping the
back.
ball.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But people forget that I think he was a true freshman or a redshirt freshman that year for Florida State, and he came in and he was just, I remember the first game that season he threw, he started off like 17 for 17. He had LeBron James tweeting at him and everything like that, and then he had all the kind of the scandals that came with it. And then that those people forget about those Auburn teams too. I know that this is after Cam Newton. But yeah, they were down by 2 scores going into the fourth quarter. Last minute drive, he takes them to win. You know, obviously there's a lot of pros, like, and then you think of like the Jameis Winston and Dalvin Cook kind of combo there. But
So
yeah, that's on my list. One of
one
the better.
question
It's a
here.
net.
I'll say one question, and I've got a good counterpoint just because it really ties into what you just said. Was the 2013 Auburn FSU game, was that the one where the running back was perceived down, but then he got back up and nobody tackled him, so he just ran down the end zone?
Yeah.
Or was that 2010?
I
It was
think
one of the
that
two.
it was one of the two, and it's the one where like the ball boy, the redhead ball boy was like running with him, and that was like a big meme too.
All right.
But yeah, I can't, I think it was 2013. I want to, no, but like I want to say that moment was the year they won. They actually won. So
I think it was
I'm going to say,
2010.
yeah, because I think I re would have remembered that with them or associated with that with them winning, and they lost in
All right.
2013. So
So the game that I want to bring up, which loosely ties into what you talked about, is Michigan State, Ohio State, 2013 Big Ten Championship. So
okay, so I have a different Michigan State, Ohio State game.
I was debating between this game or the Rose Bowl against Stanford because of just kind of what that meant for the program of kind of like putting them on the national map. And it's also bringing this up as an excuse for me to have my kind of to bring up my classic. If the playoff existed in 2013, then Michigan State wins it all. Or if the refs aren't on the payroll against Notre Dame and ghost PI calls don't get called, Michigan
Oh,
State
yeah.
undefeated anyway. And then wins the national championship on their own without needing to, because I think that Auburn team, it was kind of a, like, yeah, they made it there, but they were a fluke. Obviously, everyone remembers the kick six, but no one else, I feel like people forget that 2 games before that they had that the miracle Hail Mary that got tipped up by two Georgia defenders
Yeah, that's right.
into the receiver's hand on like 4th and 30 from 60 yards
Yep.
away. So that Auburn team had no business playing in that national championship, but it is what it is. That's not what we're talking about. I just think that one of the things that also gets forgotten about this game is Urban Meyer was 24-0 at Ohio State going into that game. They were 12-0 in year one, but they had the bowl ban, so they couldn't really go compete for a national title. They kind of had that just that was I think the last year of Braxton Miller before kind of the injuries and JT Barrett and then Cardale Jones showing up the year after. But that was kind of, I'm not going to say prime Urban Meyer because they obviously won a title the next season, but that team was just loaded and they ran into a buzzsaw of the best defense in America that season. That Michigan State defense was outscoring other teams' offenses for the beginning part of the season where they were just
No
putting
fly
deep.
zone.
No fly zone, Darqueze Dennard, Trey Waynes, Demetrius Cox, if you want to count him as part of that. But I mean, Shalique Calhoun was there, and he was at the beginning of his kind of college disruptive career. That team was super fun, and I know that the 2015 team made the playoff because it existed then, but the 2013 team, because they actually had an offense that could score once Connor Cook kind of won the job, if you will. That is the best Michigan State team I've ever seen, and so I had to include them on the list.
Yeah, and so I'll transition into my next one, which is that 2015 team you mentioned. And that's the 17-14 windmill field goal, no Connor Cook win, Michigan State over Ohio State. A game kind of going into it, wasn't a State fan at that point, so I don't have quite the nostalgia value to it that
Well,
I'm
I can
sure it
talk
does
about
for
that
you or
game.
other people. But a game they had no shot in. They had just gotten a couple of big wins before that. Connor Cook goes down. You're playing this team, like you said, that the defending national champion at the time. That was the peak of the JT Barrett era, and that defense came in and just absolutely shoved them. And who was the name of the backup quarterback for State that played that game?
Well, there was two of them. It was Damian Terry and Tyler O'Connor.
Okay.
They ran with two
And
backups.
yep, and they weren't good and were not good at all, but all you remember is the windmill field goal at the end. And
So,
that alone is a moment to make my list.
yeah, I can actually add a little bit more, like you say, kind of having the sentimental stuff. So that game, obviously, it ended with a Michigan State field goal right at the end, and like we technically didn't have a lead at all at any point during that game. But we dominated them. The only two times Ohio State scored was off of a muffed punt where they started at our 3 yard line and a fumble where they started like the Michigan State 30. Other than that, they could not move the ball against that Michigan State defense you mentioned. I mean, you want to talk about prime something. Zeke Elliott had like 14 carries for like 35 yards. He couldn't go anywhere. You mentioned JT Barrett. I mean, that team was loaded. I've seen, like, I've talked to certain Ohio State fans who claim that's their most talented team ever, and it really pisses them off that on senior day they lost to backup quarterbacks because they didn't get the opportunity to go back to back. But that's a great game. And to be fair, I could absolutely go back in and maybe put that over the other Michigan State game, but I just went for the kind of the 2013 team and the 2013 game because I thought that that Michigan State team was better than the 2015 one.
Okay. I've
So,
only got two more.
oh damn, we must have flown through your list. So I guess
Yeah.
let me rattle off a couple. This is kind of one of the most entertaining games I've ever seen. Texas A&M LSU 2018.
I have no idea what this game is.
So it wasn't the
Who?
highest stakes. I think both teams are pretty much eliminated from the CFP. But it was the eight overtime, 74-72
Okay.
game
Yeah, I do remember
that
this.
I
Yeah.
believe. And now I don't think it was a direct thing, but I think the NCAA saw this game and said, you know what? You're not allowed to have fun. And they changed the overtime rule because of that. Because that was still when the rule was after the first touchdown or after the first two overtimes, you can play normally. And then after that, every touchdown had to include a 2-point
Conversion.
conversion.
Yeah.
And they just kept matching each other. That game tied the record for most overtimes in one game. Regulation, the score was 31-31. The final score was 74-72. It
Jeez.
was just, again,
Carnage.
not exactly a national title implicator in, oh, we wiped someone's season away, but just pure carnage. So much fun to watch.
Yeah. Okay, I can get behind that.
After that, let me go to. Let me go to Alabama Clemson 2017. So this was the Deshaun Watson victory
Yeah,
year.
that's one of mine. Yeah.
Yep. This was kind of the revenge game for Clemson and Deshaun Watson. It was pretty much the peak of those two programs having separated themselves from the rest of the sport.
Yeah.
Where you, I did they play 4 straight years in the playoff, or
Thought
was
it
it
was
three straight
three.
years?
I thought it was three.
Yeah, two titles, and then Bama got him in the semifinal before they played Georgia the year after, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of the revenge game from Clemson. Obviously, everyone remembers the Hunter Renfrow out route
Yep. That's
into
what
the
I wrote
corner of
down.
the end zone. So just kind of classic game. Like I said, I think that was kind of the pinnacle of an era where two teams had separated.
Yeah, definitely. And you forget not only that, but that game itself
Oh, absolutely.
was back and
Everywhere.
forth. It felt like each team had two or three game-winning drives, and then it ended with the ball to Renfrow there. Super basic play to actually be like the most memorable thing from that game, but it is what you remember, obviously, because it was the last minute of the game, and it's what won them the national championship. So.
So I've got one more here that I'll go. I have more than that, but this one that you definitely will not have. And for me, this was more of just like another entertaining game filled with a lot of kind of lunatic moments. Washington, Oregon, Part One, 2023. So the game,
Like this past year,
yes.
that
So
was a good game.
yeah, not the Pac-12 title game, even though that also could have been there. I went with this one just because I think that it was at a non-neutral site, so it kind of, I think that played a little bit more to the atmosphere with Washington hosting. And I think that you just kind of had the Dan Lanning lunatic fest where Oregon has multiple failed fourth down conversions inside the 10-yard line. And then they go and miss that like 40-yard field goal at the end of the game that would have sent it to overtime. And I think that this was also maybe where kind of the Washington passing game truly went onto the national stage. They were already highly ranked, but you had both Odunze and Jalen Polk going for 100 plus yards receiving. Kind of Michael Penix just running around, dropping dots in everywhere. So this is definitely not a game that maybe you would have thought about. And maybe looking back at it, there were more, like I said, important games in terms of implications for future titles. But this one to me was just the most exciting.
Did you mention Dan Lanning having a stroke? I didn't hear that.
I did.
Okay. All right.
I did.
That's what I remember from that game for
Oh yeah,
sure.
he had a stinker. But so I guess how many more do you have? Because I still have a
I have
couple.
one. I only have one left.
All right, well then let me go again, I guess. Give me Ohio State, Michigan 2016.
Yeah, it's my last one.
Oh. And all I really have there was
He was
sensational.
short.
What?
Was he was short?
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
How what'd the ref say?
Doesn't matter what the replay show. He was short.
Hey, all I'll say is this. The refs have never gotten a call wrong because they're the ones who make the calls.
You know what? I'm not a Michigan fan anymore. I won't defend it. I was at the time, and it was. I got in a lot of trouble yelling at my TV from my father for the words I was saying from that. So.
I bet. I know you're a passionate fan, but yeah,
Yeah.
that game's there. That was kind of it was weird because as fun as that game was, neither one of those schools went to the Big Ten championship. That was obviously the Saquon year, and then Ohio
Yeah.
State somehow ended up in the playoffs. So it was
Right.
very weird what happened next. But in terms of kind of the game, number two versus number three, that hadn't happened since I think 2007, just because Michigan kind of went into their lull, and then obviously
Yeah.
the last couple of years, it's become routine for them to be both in the top three. But that was a great game. Obviously, you had the controversy there, and it was weird because if I remember correctly, that was just a sloppy game. There was a lot of just mistakes and turnovers, and it was like, who wants to win this or who doesn't want to lose it?
Yeah, and I think it was also a very kind of physical, like ejection, like kind of a lot of
I think I
that kind
remember
of
something
stuff.
like that. So I think I'm down to my last two games. So give me Ohio State Clemson 2019 in the college football semifinal.
Yeah, I don't know.
So look, this is kind of one of those where I focused on the game rather than than a one individual moment. It was a great game, and I think a lot of the games that I've picked were kind of nonstop offensive showcases, so I wanted to go for a little bit more football
Yeah, I was
related.
gonna say, I don't remember this being a.
No, I think it was like 27-23 or
Yeah.
27-21 at the end.
This is Lawrence
And
and Fields, right?
what?
This
Yes.
is Lawrence Fields, yeah.
Part one, because they did have part two in COVID, but
Okay.
it was because I did want to reward the defense. So Clemson managed to hold Ohio State to three field goals. Two of them, which were first and goal situations, and then one, which was like from the 11 or the 12. And that's kind of what caught up to Ohio State at the end of it was you can't beat teams kicking 3 points. And I know we just sat here and like talked about how Dan Lanning had a stroke and didn't take his points against Washington. So I do want to try and find the middle ground, but it was kind of a Ryan Day conservative, just I'd rather be safe. And at the end, that cost him. There was also, like I said, that you had some really good def like on Ohio State's side, you had the play where T. Higgins catches the ball, takes 7 steps, and it gets ripped out of his hands. Ohio State scoop and score, and then the replay booth comes in and says, "Ah, oh, no, it was an incomplete pass." So you had a little bit of controversy there. And the other part that I think, and maybe I'm overrating a roster, but that Ohio State team, when you look back at the names on it, they were nasty as well. And
Yeah.
I do believe they would have had a better shot against LSU than Clemson ended up putting up in terms of like a fight, but didn't work out. It is what it is. I think that game is kind of the, I mean, I'm not going to say the closest that Ohio State got to winning a national title under Ryan Day, because they obviously that the CJ Stroud year, and they ended up, I mean, they played for a title when they got blitzed by Mac Jones and DeVonta Smith, but that I think that was a game that kind of always sticks out to me.
Yeah.
And then
What's your last one?
last but not least is the most exciting, not the best, but the most exciting playoff game we've ever seen, Georgia Oklahoma at the Rose Bowl 2018.
I had another one that I thought about and would add as an honorable mention.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma comes out and their Lincoln Riley always had his question marks of, oh, well, like, is his style of play going to work? And he was pretty damn close to making it work. Oklahoma was up 31-14 with 10 seconds left in the first half. And if I remember correctly, instead of just kicking the ball, they ran some stupid squib kick that Georgia took back to a point where they could kick a field goal at the end of the first half and make it a two-possession game as opposed to a three-possession game. And then the Oklahoma offense kind of forgot how to play offense for a large majority of that second half. But we made our way into overtime. And then we made our way into a second overtime. And once again, kind of some Lincoln Riley, maybe a little safe or conservative moments ended up costing him a game. And I mean, I was looking back at it. That Georgia backfield was nasty. I was looking at the
Yeah, that
box
was the
score.
Michelle Chubb and who else? Who was the third one?
Swift.
Swift, right?
So
Yeah.
that was a loaded Georgia back. And the Michelle Chubb thing's always hilarious because, like, people forget Sony Michelle, I think, went like a full round ahead of Nick Chubb in the NFL draft. That was kind of another blunder by Bill Belichick taking skill
Yeah.
position players. But just that is, yeah, that's the most entertaining playoff game that I think anyone's watched, just because you had so much lunacy go by. But my two honorable mentions are Texas A&M versus Alabama in 2012, in the
I
game that
had that
kind
written
of,
down and wrote and erased it.
yeah, that was kind of the, I don't want to say the beginning, but that was kind of
It
the
was.
super stardom of the Johnny
Yep.
Manziel.
That
Like,
shot him off.
yep,
Yep.
just that touchdown where he's running around in circles, ends up finding a
Yep.
dude who just takes a knee in the end zone because he's wide open. And then the second honorable mention I have, and this is just one of those kind of another lunatic game, freak show game, was Texas Tech, Oklahoma 2016, the Baker
Mahomes.
Mayfield, Patrick Mahomes
Yeah.
setting the NCAA record for combined offensive yards, were of 1,700 yards of offense between those two teams. I forget, I think the final score was like 55, 52, or some obscene shit like that. I was looking back at the box score. Mahomes had 88 passing attempts.
Jesus.
How does your arm not fall off at that point?
I don't know. That's jeez. If I have some honorable mentions I've thought of like just off the top, Alabama Auburn this past year, Auburn obviously was terrible. That was the Jalen Hurts. That's more of a moment than an actual game. That was the Jalen Hurts fourth and God knows how long off his back foot into the corner of the end zone. And also, Alabama Tennessee 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Tennessee upsets Alabama. I want to say it was like 52-49, and
Exactly
Alabama,
that.
and there was a it was either a walk-off field goal or Alabama missed a walk-off field goal.
Both. Alabama
Oh.
missed. Well, I say both. Alabama misses a field goal with like 30 seconds left.
Right.
And
Yep.
then
Okay.
Tennessee, Josh Heupel, does what maybe some other coaches should have done. He trusted his quarterback, he trusted his offense. And instead of just taking a knee to go to overtime, two plays ripped off like 40, 50 yards and kicked that little walk off. The fans storm the field. You see
Yep.
the goal posts end up in the river. Great, great
Also,
timing.
2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, also Auburn, Alabama. That was the double, triple overtime game where your boy kicked a field goal to, I believe, win it in overtime, right?
Yes.
That's
49
another one I
yards.
thought of. Yep. Double overtime. Got it done for them.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the two that came, or three that came off the top of my head in recent years, at least.
Yeah, I like that. So, I mean, I don't have much more. I'm kind of content with calling it here, me going to get some dinner and then trying to log into Dynasty again just to get pissed off when it tells me the servers aren't available.
Yeah. For those of you that made it this far, thank you. We appreciate it. We'll be back next week with some more entertainment for you.
Thank you very much.